Let's open our Bibles to Luke 17. Luke chapter number 17. If you need a Bible, put your hand up, and an usher will come by and bring you a Bible. Luke 17. If you need a Bible, keep your hand up, and an usher will come by. Luke chapter number 17. We'll read the entire chapter as our custom. Luke 17, beginning verse number 1. Then said he unto the disciples, "It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, and that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And the apostle said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plying or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he's come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? Will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And he lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be 2 men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. 2 women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, and the other left. 2 men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. You God, I thank you for this conference. As you give us a tender heart to your word. As you please be with Pastor Shelley. God, strengthen, Lord, fill him with spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I first want to say thank you to Verity Baptist Church for hosting this conference, and especially to Pastor Jimenez and his wife for being so hospitable. And it's a great honor and privilege to come here and to be able to preach to all of you. And I want to thank all those that came to hear Pastor Anderson early to preach this evening so that I could have a big crowd to preach to. So let's dig into our text here. It says in verse number 12, it says, And as he entered into a certain village, it's talking about Jesus Christ, it says, There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And we have a great story here of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy. All those that call out to him and ask of that mercy, notice he didn't turn a single one away. He granted mercy unto all 10, didn't he? And they were all cleansed. We could take this as a picture of salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible makes it clear that God is of great mercy and he wants people to be saved. But notice the emphasis of this is not the fact that 10 people were saved, but rather the emphasis is the fact there's only one out of these 10 that was willing to go back and actually give glory and honor to God. There's only one that ended up what? Worshiping Jesus, going back and serving him, going and worshiping him. And Jesus asked this famous question, where are the 9? Meaning, where are they at? They should be giving me honor. They should be giving me glory. They should be serving me. I mean, I just gave them great mercy. I just healed them. I just cleansed them. Why are they not coming and glorifying God? And there's a lot of things we could take out of this story, but the one thing I really want to take out of this story is the fact that these 9 people were all freeloaders. And the title of the sermon this evening is Freeloaders. And there's a lot of freeloaders in Christianity. And even though they were all saved, guess what? They were a freeloader because they weren't willing to give anything back. Now you say, what is a freeloader? That's not necessarily a word you find in the King James Bible. But the concept's very clear from the scriptures. I'll give you a definition from the dictionary. It says a person who takes advantage of others' generosity without giving anything in return. Now, isn't that a great description of what these 9 were like? They were willing to accept the free gift of cleansing. They were willing to accept the free gift of being healed. But did they give anything back in return? No. Now, go if you would to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. I think one of the clearest examples we have of this that we see every day is soul winning. I mean, a lot of people accept the free gift of salvation at the door, won't they? But then here's the question, where are they? Right? I mean, where do they go? Where are the 9? Or the 99 or the 900? I mean, where are these people that don't end up, they get saved, they get that free gift, but are they willing to go back and give glory to God? Are they willing to go and to serve God? Unfortunately, in Christianity, you have a lot of people that are freeloaders today. They're only in it for themselves. They're only selfish. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with accepting free gifts. There's nothing wrong with accepting that salvation. There's nothing wrong with getting cleansed. There's nothing wrong with receiving the mercy of God. But what is wrong is not going back and giving glory to the person that gave that gift to you. There's nothing wrong with accepting a gift. The problem is you should then be thankful for the gift that you have received. And I have 3 points this evening. My first point about freeloaders is that they're selfish, not selfless. They're selfish, not selfless. Now in John chapter number 6, we have another story here. Look at verse number 5. The Bible reads, When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And they were filled, and he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now, another story here, and it's really the exact same storyline that I want to show from the previous passage. We see that there was many people that were hungry, and Jesus Christ feeds them with what? With bread. And what the miracle is the fact that just even a small amount of bread, a small amount of food is able to be distributed to all. every single one, which is a picture of the fact that Jesus Christ, even though there was one man that died, he tasted death for every man, and whosoever will shall come. So that means just even that one sacrifice, he can multiply that to anybody and they can all be satisfied. I also like the fact that notice how they received that food. Jesus gave it to the disciples and the disciples distribute it to the people. You know what that is? That's soul winning. Yeah. Jesus Christ uses men to go out and to preach the gospel and to feed the hungry and to give drink unto those that are thirsty, his sacrifice. And again, there's nothing wrong with accepting free food. I like free food, okay? I got a free lunch today from Round Table Pizza, and it was great. It was excellent. It was wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with accepting that free gift, but you know what you should do? You should be thankful for the gift that you received. Now, skip down, and we're going to see that Jesus Christ, he crosses the water, and a lot of people follow him. They want to hear more of his preaching, as it would be assumed. But it says in verse 25, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Now that airtight proves what I just showed you from the illustration. Jesus Christ likened that eating of those loaves unto the sacrifice he was going to give of his body, right? But notice that the freeloader, he can't get enough, can he? I mean, he got the first meal, but then you know what? He wants another meal, and Jesus Christ is rebuking them by saying, oh, you're just wanting to get fed again, aren't you? You're just here to get the free food, to just show up. You're just a freeloader. And look, freeloaders can never have enough. Let me give you an example. I used to go trick-or-treating when I was little, all right? I'll confess my fault. And some people, they're kind of lazy with the trick-or-treating. And some of my neighbors would do this. Instead of actually, like, going through all the motions, they would just get a big bowl of candy. And they would just set it out on the front porch. And they would put a note, please take one. Now, let me tell you what happens. The first person takes all the candy. Actually, they take all the candy but the garbage candy, okay? And then the second kid comes and cleans up all the garbage candy, like the Pez stuff and whatever. But look, freeloaders, they can never have enough. They're going to take as much as you're going to give them. And Jesus Christ was rebuking them because they didn't really care about the spiritual things. They were just there to get some kind of a carnal satisfaction, which will never give you true satisfaction. Look at verse 28. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? Or what dost thou work?" Now, just think about the irony of this statement. He just fed them by some incredible miracle. I mean, no one's ever seen this type of a miracle. And then they travel this great distance to get that same miracle of eating. And then like, what sign are you going to show me? It's like, what sign do you want? I mean, they can never have enough, right? And then if they show them another sign, they want another one. And then you show them another sign, and they'll want another one. Jesus Christ didn't stop giving them signs, did he, though? He kept healing. He did all kinds of miracles before their eyes. Yet they did not believe on him. Why? Because the freeloader is never going to be satisfied, and he's not willing to serve, because ultimately he's selfish. Notice that these people show up and say, hey, Jesus, put us to work. Hey, Jesus, what can I do? He's going to tell them, hey, believe on me, right? He's giving them something to do. Hey, how do we work the works of God? Notice whenever he gives them a response, they're like, okay, well, show me another miracle. Maybe I'll do it. It's kind of like those people, they say, hey, come off the cross and then we'll believe on you. They're just trying to make up another excuse because they're not really willing to serve. They just want to get another free meal out of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just want to be entertained. They just want to see another miracle. Well, why don't you just show us something cool again? You know, some people come to church just to see some real cool thing. They're just a freeloader. They're not really there for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not really there to serve him. They're in it for themselves. And look, a lot of Christians, they don't do anything for God. All they're in it is for themselves. Some people come to church only for themselves. That is the wrong attitude. You are a free loader. You should not go to church thinking, what am I going to get out of it? You should go to church to serve God, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people are giving up on church and they say, I don't get anything out of it. You're supposed to go there to serve God. It's not there for you. It's for you to serve and worship God and to minister and to be thankful for what he's done unto you. That's why I go to church. I don't go to church to just see what all the things that I can get out of it. I'm going there because of God. Jesus Christ purchased the church with his own blood. Therefore, I ought to love church because of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That should be my main and ultimate motivation. Now, go if you would to Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs chapter number 30. We're talking about freeloaders and how they're just never satisfied. Let me give you a proverb here that talks about people that can never be satisfied, or things or creatures. Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse 15. The Bible reads, "The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, Give, give! There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, the fire that saith not, it is enough, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." Now, in Proverbs chapter 30, he gives us four different things here. The last one, the eye that mocketh at his father, this is ridiculous, but children, let me tell you this, children are all freeloaders. You say, how do you know that? Just have children. And then you'll realize they're all freeloaders, okay? They're just willing to just take and to take and to take. You have to teach them not to be a freeloader because, a baby, all it does is take, okay? It is just takes and it takes and it takes. And you have to teach and to train your children to no longer be a freeloader. Now, I'm going to revisit that point. Just keep that in your mind. But also, before he gives us this list of four things, he ties it to a creature because God always uses carnal truths to expound spiritual truths. He always uses a carnal example that's true to expound some spiritual truth that is also true. And notice the creature that he uses here, a horse leech. You say, what's a horse leech? Well, I got a dictionary definition. It says a large leech is a Haemopus marmomatus that infests the mouth and nasal passages of horses. Now, what these things, these creatures, they get into the mouth and the nose of a horse, and they are a blood sucker. All they do is they're a parasite, they're a predator, they sit in that host, and they just attach themselves, and they just suck blood out of those horses. They're just a constant nuisance. They're a freeloader. And you know what? They don't care about that horse, do they? They don't care about what they're doing to the horse. All they care about is what they're getting out of it. And, you know, at our church, we have people, they came up with this phrase, they call these people energy vampires. But they just want to suck the life out of you. And it makes sense because the life is in the blood. So you get these blood suckers, and look, there are blood suckers out there. They are freeloaders, and the only thing they want to do is just suck the life out of you. They want to suck the energy out of you. They're just a leech there, and guess what? They're never satisfied. And you know what? He's got two daughters that are crying too, and he's got to feed them. Look, he's never going to stop. He's just going to keep eating and keep eating, not considering the horse, not considering what he's doing to the horse, and not appreciative of the horse. But this is not the attitude that we should have. The attitude that we should have is one of being selfless, not selfish, right? Go to Philippians chapter 2 for a moment. Go to Philippians chapter number 2. And let's look at verse number 3. The Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." The Bible teaches that we as Christians should actually in our own mind, not just in our actions, not just by our words, but even our own thoughts, what we actually believe in our heart is that other people are truly better than us. This is the opposite of the freeloading leech. This is the opposite of that horse leech that just wants to suck the blood out of you. No, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you? He didn't suck the blood. He let his blood be shed for you, didn't he? He shed his blood. He sacrificed himself. He laid down his life, what to give us life. He was one who was not selfish. He was one who was selfless. Now, let's think about this in the Christian context. Let's think about this church. There's a lot of people that would be a freeloader today. You know, maybe at a, conference. Maybe they don't actually even go to a church. Maybe they live like 15 minutes away. Maybe they live around the block, but they don't actually come to Verity Baptist Church. They don't actually go to any church, but they just like to come and they like to see the miracle, don't they? They just like to see some cool thing. They don't give any financial. They don't help any way at the church. They don't do anything spiritual. This person is a freeloader. You say, I'm uncomfortable, Pastor Shelley. Well, you came to the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and you live next door. You should get plugged into Verity Baptist Church. If you live within an hour radius and you're not in a church, you get into Verity Baptist Church and stop being a freeloader. Oh, I just can't wait for Red Hot. I can just show up for free and hear a lot of great preaching and get a free t-shirt. Look, you're a freeloader. Why would you do, look, there's people that do that. It's called Pastor Anderson Easter, okay? People just come out of the woodwork just to get the free sermon, just to see some cool thing, yet they don't want to serve God. Guess what? You're a freeloader. You're a leech, okay? You need to actually get plugged in to the church. You actually need to serve God with your life. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with coming to hear Pastor Anderson preach. There's nothing wrong with visiting Verity Baptist Church. There's nothing wrong with taking a free gift. What's wrong is not being thankful for it. What's wrong is not serving God. What's wrong is not getting plugged into church and doing something with your life. Don't be a freeloader. Be thankful for the gifts that you've given and don't have such a selfish attitude. Why don't you be a selfless person? Why don't you get plugged into a church and do something for God? Here's another thing, just free food in general, right? Some people just show up. If I have a preaching sermon, I say, you know what? Next week, we're going to have food, free food. I will always have more attendance. It's guaranteed. You have any event, you say, hey, there's going to be free food. People come out of the woodwork for that, right? Who comes out of the woodwork? The horse leech. The horse leech is just ready. He's like, oh, sweet. Horses are coming out. I'm going to attach myself to that sucker, even though they're the sucker, right? They're going to suck all the blood out of the horse. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with receiving free food. But again, don't be so selfish. You should be thankful and you should be selfless. Why don't you be the person that provides free food every once in a while? Why don't you be the person that actually ministers unto others? Here's another one that people love to do, because we talked about the food, right? But there's also spiritual food, isn't there? Yep. And that's way more important. And you know what? Verity Baptist Church pumps out so much free spiritual food on a weekly basis. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night. There's even other events. I mean, we're here on a Friday night, and you're getting some spiritual food tonight. But you know what? There's a lot of people, they'll suck in all of the free spiritual food, but you know what? They're not thankful for the meal that someone provided them. They'll learn all this extra doctrine. They'll learn all this truth. They'll gain all this benefit and all this information. But then you know what they do? They become a freeloader, and they're not thankful for that information that they got. They only take it for their own selfish ambition, their own selfish goals today, and they're a life sucker. They're a horse leech, and they're never satisfied. We ought not be this type of person. And you know what happens to that horse leech? He sucks in all this free food and all this free spiritual food and all this free doctrine. And you know what happens when you become full? You become prideful. Fullness of bread, right? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? And when you become prideful, you know what happens? You start, you know, going down the dark road. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. You start becoming arrogant, haughty. You stop esteeming other better than yourself. You think that you're some great thing. And you say, well, why did that person think that they're so great? Because they received something for free. Oh, I'm just such a great person. I got round table pizza, even though it's free. How does that make me special? Hey, you know, all the doctrines and all the things that I have, someone else gave me. Let me prove that to you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? The Bible is saying everything you have, you received. You know what? My eyes I got from God. My height, my hair, my body, my wife, my children, my job, my intelligence, every single thing I have is a gift. All of it. My eternal life is a gift. Everything I have received, and so I should therefore not get so haughty and arrogant about the things that I've received today. You know what? God's the one that gives us the power to make wealth. But you know, rich people can get really arrogant, can't they? They think, oh, I'm so great. Look at all this stuff that I've acquired. Look, God's the one that gave it to you, freeloader. God could take it away, too. You get this weird attitude where you think you're so special and everything you have, you've earned. Look, God gives us all the stuff that we have. It's by his mercy and by his grace, the things that we have today. Now, this is not a message to say that we shouldn't work hard. We should work hard, but ultimately we have to realize the things that we have, we've received. And we don't want to be the freeloaders always taking. We want to be people that give. Amen. Giving of ourselves. Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. What's my first point? My first point is that freeloaders, they're selfish, not selfless. They're selfish, not selfless. Look at 2 Samuel chapter number 15. Now, in 2 Samuel, we're talking about Absalom. And Absalom's an interesting character in the Bible because Absalom has all kinds of different attributes that we could focus on, think about, talk about. But I believe that Absalom's actually a good example of a freeloader. Now, that's not his only problem. He has a lot of problems, okay? But I want to focus on the freeloading aspect of Absalom. Now, when we think about Absalom, Absalom's a weak leader because Absalom doesn't want to do anything himself. He wants to get other people to do it for him. You know, Absalom sends his servants to kill Amnon, his brother. He has a bone to pick with Amnon for what he did to Tamar. And instead of doing anything himself, he gets his servants to kill him. Absalom also, he sends Joab's field on fire. But he didn't do himself. He sent his servants to send Joab's field on fire so that Joab would come to him. And then he gets Joab to get David to allow him to return and to see him and to stand before the king's face. But the common denominator is constantly the fact that Absalom is selfish. He just wants things, and he doesn't care who he uses, who he takes advantage of. He's a freeloader off all his servants. He's a freeloader off of Joab to get the things that he wants. And look what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Notice what the Bible's saying. 50 men to run before him. You know what that is? Not a leader. The leader is the one leading the charge. Absalom is just getting a bunch of people to run in front of him. Why? Because he's just a user. He's just a user and abuser, and he's just getting other people to do his dirty work. And I think the reason why he does this is because, well, he's probably just the son of a king, right? He can get a bunch of people to just flatter him and vain and light and treacherous persons that want to come unto him and say, oh, well, yeah, we'll run before you. You're Absalom. I mean, you're David's son. And the Bible talks about Absalom was, you know, a very good-looking man. He, you know, obviously is going to have a lot of attributes that people could admire and look at least carnally. So he can attract a lot of carnal people to go and run before him. But he's just going to use them and he's going to abuse them. And really my second point of freeloaders is this: when they see something that they want, but they're not able to get it for free, they end up subverting the authority that's there so they can get it for free still. Okay? Now, what does the word subvert mean? Subvert means to undermine power or authority, to overthrow as a synonym, or to dethrone. Now, if you know what the story is happening, Absalom wants the kingdom to himself. He wants to dethrone David, his father, and to take it. Now, let's get some context here. Let's look at verse number 2. The Bible says, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. It says in verse 6, "And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Now, what are we reading in this story? Absalom, he's the son of the king. He's already got a lot of privilege. I mean, he's already high up on the food chart, right? He's up there in the hierarchy. I mean, he's the son of David. He's got a lot of accolades. He's got a lot of privileges. And he's just been reinstituted. He's got other people to help him. He's now can stand before the face of the king. So he has the ability to still do, certain activities. But you know what? He doesn't like the fact that David is still the judge. David is the king. David is the one that ultimately gets all the glory and all the honor. That's the one thing he doesn't have yet. And everything else he's had has been given to him for free. You know, Absalom didn't pick who his dad would be, did he? Absalom didn't pick all the things that he got. He just gets to be the son of the king. He gets to have all these accolades. And in fact, if he just waits, he might even be king. Obviously, we know from the story Solomon's supposed to be the king. But if he had been a righteous man, if he had been the man after God's own heart, maybe God would have chosen Absalom. But we know that Absalom, he's going to be a great person no matter what, but he can't play second fiddle. And he sees something that he wants, so he has to subvert instead of support David. He has to subvert David, not support him. He became so prideful, he wants to take the kingdom from David. Now, here's the thing about Absalom. He's obviously riding on David's coattails, isn't he? I mean, David's done a lot of great things. David's built this great kingdom. He's followed God's commandments. He killed Goliath. He's, restored Israel. He's done all these great things for the children of Israel. And Absalom gets to ride on the coattails of David and enjoy all the benefits of what his father has done unto him, what David has done for him. And let me say this about riding on someone's coattails. There's no problem. We're all riding on other people's coattails. We're all riding on the coattails of the preachers before us and the preachers before them and the preachers before them. And guess what? It goes all the way back to Jesus Christ. And guess whose coattails we're riding in? Jesus Christ's coattails. That's the coattails we're ultimately riding in. And there's no problem with riding in someone's coattails. But here's the thing. Some people can't stand it that they're riding in someone's coattails. So instead of supporting the people that they're riding the coattails on, they have to subvert the coattails that they've been riding. They have to undermine the power and authority of all the things they've received, all the hard work of David. And notice when these people are coming, are they coming to see Absalom? Who are they coming to see? David. But you know what? That eats Absalom up so much. He can't stand it that they're going to see David. Oh, I wish it was me. I wish they were coming to see me. I just want them to come and, follow me, and I would give them judgment. I would, take care of them. They're all good. He doesn't really care about them, though. And we see with Absalom, he sees something that he wants. And here's the thing about the freeloader aspect that we have to understand, okay, is that Absalom could have that, legitimately. But you know what he'd have to do? He'd have to wait, and he'd have to work hard on his own, and he'd have to earn it, wouldn't he? But he doesn't want to earn it. He wants it for free because Absalom is a freeloader. So you know how freeloaders get things like this? They try to steal it. They try to take it. They try to subvert it. And they just want it for free. Absalom does not want people to come and hear him judge because of how great he is. He wants to steal the glory of David. He wants to just take it from David. And that's what freeloaders do. They see someone that has some honor and glory, and they say, I want that. I like that, but I don't want to actually earn that. I would just like to just take it. Is that for sale? How do I get on in that deal? You don't want to get rebuked like Simon the Sorcerer, okay? He just wanted to steal it, didn't he? He just wanted to take it. He didn't want to earn it, okay? That's a different part of that's not part of the sermon, okay? But he's a horse leech. There's horse leeches today, too. There's Absaloms today. They just want to attach themselves to different men that have honor and glory. People come to hear them, but they can't stand that. People come to hear Pastor Steven Anderson, don't they? People come to hear Pastor Roger Menez. People come to hear other men. But I want to focus on those two Because I feel like there's a lot of horse leeches in this world today. They just want to attach themselves to some man that's done a lot of great works in the past, and they just want to steal the glory and the honor for themselves, don't they? And you know what they are? They're a freeloader. That's what they are. Now, I'm going to tie this back to my first verse, where it says, where are the nine? You know, we never got those guys' names, did we? You know what? We got some names today, don't we? Yeah. Why don't we just start naming some names of some horse leeches? How about someone like Bill McGregor? This guy is a horse leech. Our number one horse leech is Bill McGregor, all right? This guy just wants to peddle his book that nobody cares about. Literally no one. I bet his dad didn't even read it, okay? He wants to just create this pastor school, and he wants to invite other men to come just so he can build this stupid pastor school and just peddle his book and peddle his nonsense. He just wants to prop up his dad as a pseudo-pastor so what? He can be a pastor again. He can just sneak into the pulpit and just steal the glory and the honor for himself. He's not interested in doing anything genuine. He just wants to steal an audience. The guy's a horse leech. He's a freeloader is what he is. And it's a shame and it's folly. And he got exposed. Eventually, the horses said, get this leech out of my nose, you know, and they just plucked him out. How about another horse leech? Here's my second horse leech. Afshin Yakhtin of New Covenant Baptist Church. That's right. Now, there's these videos. I mean, who ordained this guy? You know, who picked Absalom to be the next king? No one. I see Absalom riding on a horse. There's videos of, you know, Afshin Yakhtin, some dude, and a horse. Maybe the horse ordained him. I don't know. He's such an effeminate, queer bait person, too. And look, if you're in this room and you're a man, never speak with an effeminate voice, ever. It's gross. It's disgusting. You're a queer bait. Queers sound effeminate. Just FYI. And look, people come up to me like, hey, Pastor Shelley. And I'm just thinking like, you know, I've decided at this point, I'm just going to call it out. So you better just like grunt or something when you come talk. Hey, Pastor Shelley, you know, how's it going? I don't want a bunch of queer baits in my church or in any room that I'm in ever. I'm just not interested. You know, I have to go every once in a while and buy groceries or something, and it's like littered with effeminate queers, okay? I don't want my church to be like that. I don't want someone to show up and be like, oh, I thought this was a Baptist church. I didn't know this was a queer pride parade. We got a bunch of effeminate, prancy, you know, men up here. Oh, hey, I read the Bible. That's gross. You should call out someone being effeminate. Amen. This guy is just effeminate. He's just a horse leech, just attaching himself, pretending like he's ordained, pretending like he has a church, pretending like he's like us. Why? Just so he can steal an audience again. Right. While we're talking about queer baits, what about Tyler Doka? With his little, you know, cute jeans and cool haircut. This guy's a horse leech, just pretending. Pretending to believe the gospel, pretending to be a Baptist. I've never heard a Baptist say you're going to go to the lake of fire and burn off your sins. I've never heard a Baptist preach the flat earth theory. What did he want to do? I just want to gain as much agenda as I possibly can, as steal his audience as much as I can so I can just peddle my flat earth nonsense. I can just peddle a bunch of silliness and foolishness. And look, these guys are horse leeches. They're freeloaders. And their preaching's lame. All their preaching is just warmed over loaves of bread from that feeding of 5,000. You know, they snuck a couple in their coat pocket that they heard from Pastor Anderson or Pastor Menez, and it got a little moldy on the way home, and it got, you know, it's kind of weird, and they put it in the microwave, and they kind of nuked it a little bit, and then they just kind of regurgitate it and serve it back up, and you're like, it's kind of like what Jesus gave us, but there's some weird stuff attached to it. You know, it's just lame, weak preaching, and they start saying things wrong because they didn't even study the Bible themselves. They're not even reading the Bible themselves. It's weak, it's lame. Lame preaching makes me think of another person, Adam Fannin. Go if you went to 1 Samuel 4 in your Bible for a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Adam Fannin has some of the worst preaching I've never heard preaching from that I ever liked. But what does he want to do? He just wants to attach himself to other people. He wants to show up to the Red Hot Preaching Conference and preach garbage because he's a horse leech. And the only thing that's going to come out is horse leech doctrine. Things that he kind of heard, but he didn't quite get right. And then he just regurgitates it, and it's garbage. Yeah. And this guy was a freeloader. He was one of the biggest freeloaders I've ever seen. Never saw one. He's a full-time evangelist. Paid. Full-time evangelist. Guess how many soul-winning times he led at his church? Zero. That's called freeloader. Yeah. How are you? What does an evangelist do? He only went, he supposedly even showed up to only one soul-winning time. A week. A full-time evangelist? That's a freeloader. That's all I have to hear. Hey, I got a full-time evangelist. He does nothing else. He's paid. He's on staff. How many soul winning times does he lead? Zero. All right. Freeloader. I mean, what? Imagine you say, hey, what do you do for a living, Pastor Shelley? Oh, I'm a pastor. When do you preach? I don't. Hey, there's a lot of pastors like that. It's called satellite churches, where they basically have a TV monitor on the wall, and the campus, the main campus pastor, just preaches for them every week. And he's just a glorified person that just stands up there and never preaches. It's lame. You're not a pastor then. How can you be a pastor and you don't even preach? How can you be an evangelist and you don't even lead in the soul winning? That's a bad evangelist. That sounds like Absalom, who would get 50 men to run before him, didn't he? Let me say this also about this freeloader. Whenever I was going to take over Steadfast Baptist Church, I texted this freeloader and I said, hey, give me all the financials that you have for the church. Receipts, the tithing ledger, expenses, just all the financial records, all the financial documents. Romero has that in Dallas. How is that possible? He's like, accounting wasn't my scope. And I said, who counted the offerings? Never answered again. Zero financial records for a church? Zero? None? For 18 months? You have nothing? Zero? Freeloader. Subverting. Taking. He's like Judas. It's like, hey, where's all that money we put in the purse? I don't know what happened. It must have just fallen out. There's a hole in the bag. And it just drops into my pocket. It's interesting how that works. Talking about financial problems, how about his mentor? How about this freeloader, Donnie Romero? Freeloader. Just attaching himself to other people and using them, despitefully using them, for his own personal advantage, his own personal glory. The guy was a freeloader. Subverting, taking advantage of people, telling them, hey, only tithe and cash. That's the best way to tithe. In fact, I don't even think you should give a check. Just everything in cash. Just keep giving as much cash as possible. Just cash, 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 cash. I wonder why he wants cash. You know, one of the interesting things it is, whenever I took over Steadfast and I finally got onto the bank records, you know what I noticed? There was zero cash deposits for Steadfast the last 6 months of him being the pastor there. Zero? Cash deposits? How does that work? Yeah. I guess all these people that have been giving all this cash all of a sudden just stopped for a whole 6 months. Freeloader. Yeah. And you say, well, you know, maybe he started out good. Well, the first financial record started at the beginning of 2015. And guess what's on the first statement? Casino ATM charges. Wow. Freeloader. Yeah. Just taking advantage of people. Just a hypocrite. One who's just a complete, just blood sucker, just sucking from the congregation, taking advantage of them, ripping them off. Oh, I'm surprised that all of his under leadership is wicked. Oh, I'm surprised that Adam Fannin is wicked. Oh, I'm surprised all the other leadership he's installed just happens to be wicked. It's like the Bible's true or something, that a wicked tree produces wicked fruit. Ooh, I don't like this sermon. You know, talking about unqualified pastors, how about this guy, Tim DeLello? Yeah. Talk about a horse leech. Talk about one that's a freeloader. He's more like a fat loader, if you ask me. Taking advantage of people. Going up to the soul-winning conference, just attaching himself like the horse leech that he is. But he loves to run his fat lips on Facebook and attack people and constantly subvert people. And he's just so independent. I can't support any movement. I can't support any other church. I'm just so independent. I'm just the most independent person ever. Well, you know what's interesting when you're that independent? It sounds like you're selfish. How can you show up at all these conferences, show up with other people, hang out with all these other people, but you're so independent? It sounds like you're a subverter, not a supporter. Sounds like you don't want to help anybody else or give to anybody else or attach yourself to anybody else. Yet he does. He just wants to suck the life out of them, doesn't he?
Right.
And just run his fat mouth. Look, as a pastor, so-called, why would you sit there and upload videos of you eating M&Ms when you're morbidly obese? And then to end the video, he eats the wrapper. He's so hungry. You say, I don't like this. You're calling him fat. Well, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 18. Look at what God said about this person. Eli says, and it came to pass when he'd made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate and his neck brake and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. God just decided, hey, I'm just going to throw this in here. Just to let you know, Eli was fat, okay? And he wasn't just fat, he was heavy, okay? And guess what? Tim DeLello is heavy. He is real heavy, okay? And this guy is just a fat loader. He's just, I have to eat the wrapper, I'm so hungry, with my M&Ms. It's ridiculous. You know, he's attacking my church members. He's running his mouth on Facebook and trying to attack people. And, you know, my church members point out how wicked Adam Fannin is. He has to go on Facebook and try to say, oh, well, I don't like you talking about Adam Fannin, so I took screenshots of everything you said, and I sent it to Adam Fannin. But I'm not a fan of his. I don't support him, because I support nobody, remember? Then you go look at his playlist of liked videos. Every single video is a like of every Adam Fannin sermon. Against us, attacking us. I point that out. Guess what he says? Oh, yeah, nothing. Just likes to run his mouth, but then you call him on the carpet and he just weasels himself away again. Just trying to take advantage of other people. You know, when we think about Eli, he didn't end up doing what? Correcting his sons. That's what the point of the fact that he was pointed out as fat. The Bible says that Hophni and Phinehas make themselves fat. Why? Taking advantage of other people. You want to talk about some freeloaders? Hophni and Phinehas. Taking advantage of the offering, taking advantage of the women, you know, that they would lay with, that assembled at the door. I mean, these guys were bastards, okay? Hophni and Phinehas are bastards. And you say, what's a bastard? It's someone that's without chastisement. They are without chastisement. And at the end of the day, how did you get that? The dad wasn't disciplining. He didn't want to discipline his children. And that's what made him, he didn't want to have self-discipline, so he doesn't want to discipline his children. And when you don't discipline your children, you know what they become? Freeloaders their whole life. They don't want to actually take any correction, any rebuke. Let's talk about another person. Here's my seventh, where are the nine? Josh Gander. You say, who's Josh Gander? Well, if you don't know, it doesn't matter. This guy is a freeloader. This guy is just taking advantage of other people's hard work, and he's lying about it. He went to an old IFB pastor, and he's trying to pretend like, oh, I'm just setting up this church. You know, there's this church that's being set up, and I need to go preach for it. And this old IFB pastor says, well, you know, go do whatever you want. And then he uploads a video saying that he was sent as an ordained person to go be over this church. And you know what really happened? He just asked the pastor, he said, hey, we're moving, and we're just going to go to this church. And the pastor just says, well, God bless you. Let's just pray for them that they'll have a successful move. Then he gets up and lies to everybody and says, oh, I was ordained. I was sent out by this pastor. Well, it's interesting when you actually talk to the pastor like I did and asked him about it, and you know what he said? I never did. Never sent him out. Didn't have any... I mean, if someone comes up to me and says, hey, Pastor Shelley, I'm thinking about just moving to this other church. Well, let me pray for you. Holy, Pastor Shelley's sending me out as an evangelist. Oh, look, that's a lying. And why would you do that? Because you want to freeload. You want to pretend like you're something that you're not, and you want to take glory that you don't have, and you want to subvert people. Here's another freeloader. Number 8, Michael Johnson, the pastor of Temple Baptist Church. Freeloader. He preached like a whole sermon attacking satellite church planting. He said that everybody that's doing is unbiblical. I'm like, how do you read the book of Acts? I mean, all these churches without pastors, I guess we screwed that one up. Titus, well, you just deconstruct all those satellites that we started out there because they don't have elders. Or wait, maybe ordain elders in every city I'd appointed thee. Maybe go to these churches that have been planted and are forming and ordain a pastor over them. He preaches a whole sermon rebuking anybody that has a satellite church. Oh, like, I don't know, Pastor Steven Anderson, like Pastor Roger Menez. I wonder who that was aimed at. I wonder who he was trying to attack on that one. The freeloader just wanting to take and take. How about just going to a free pastor's retreat and then the whole time just spying and trying to report information to other people, taking advantage, all the while just slyly behind Pastor Anderson's back lying about him and slandering him and making up false reports against him. Just like who? Oh, yeah, Absalom. Why don't you just steal? Oh, they don't like the fact that they're going to hear David. I want them to hear me. I want to take that glory for myself. Here's my number 9. He works in tandem with Michael Johnson. Is Manly Perry. Manly Perry is a freeloader. I went to his first service. You know he had preach at his first service? Pastor Roger Jimenez and Pastor Steven Anderson. You know, he came up here to just try and rub elbows with Pastor Roger Menez to get what? To just gain from all the hard work of Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez. Right. Just to take all that glory that they've worked hard for, all that for what? For selfish ambition. Yeah. You know what he did? He called me in July before I started Pure Words Baptist Church. He called me. I wasn't a pastor yet, but it was evident that I was going to be ordained. People knew that. It had already been an announcement. He calls me and just, I answer the phone immediately. He goes, how old are you? I say 30. He's like, good. I was like, okay. Is there a reason? Like, what's going on? Oh, I'm preaching through Numbers chapter number 4. And the Bible talks about the Levites, how they had to be 30 years old. And I think that's just an obvious proof that a pastor has to be at least 30 years old. That's like a biblical requirement. And I remember the conversation pretty vividly because it was so out of place. It was so awkward. I said, well, you know, I've actually been reading Numbers recently. If you go to Numbers 8, it says that some of the Levites were ordained at age 25. He goes, well, that's obviously a 5-year apprenticeship. Obvious. It's like, okay. I say, yeah, but I don't think you can take the Levitical priesthood and just slam it up with New Testament pastors. I mean, they have to be Levites. There's a lot of differences. How about the passage that says, look, no man despise thy youth? I said, I think if God really wanted a hard limit age, he would have put that in the qualifications. Why would he not put that in the qualifications? So I kind of, you know, he's a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm just trying to have a conversation with the man. I was trying to be respectful. I was trying to be polite. He says, well, I think that's why Pastor Roger Menez and Pastor Steven Anderson struggled so much at the beginning of their ministries. Because when someone's so young and wet behind the ears, nobody wants to come hear them preach. Who calls up somebody that's about to go start a church and tries to talk crap on his sending pastor and just making up crap? You know why it's hard to build a church when you're young? It's not because they were young. It's because nobody knew who they were. Exactly. They went into an area where there's no one, and they're trying to build a church from scratch. Now, let me say this. I have tried to build a church from scratch. It is ridiculously hard. It is super hard. It's called Faithful Word Baptist Church North, all right? This is the first satellite church that I knew of, and I wasn't even full-time. I was just like one of three people involved in preaching, and it was super hard. Anybody that's gone soul winning for 5 minutes realizes it's hard because they say, we're coming to church. I'll see you on Sunday. I remember there's an apartment complex close to Pure Words Baptist Church, and we've been just hitting it up because it's real receptive. And I got this guy saved. He was real receptive, and you can tell he's lived a hard life, all right? And I said, hey, you got to come to church. I'll give you a ride. He's like, oh, we're definitely coming. We're showing up. And I was like, cool, you know, I'd love to have you. Can't wait. He didn't show up. I'm not, like, surprised. But next week, because I'm just going to the same apartment complex, I just run into him. He's just, like, walking by. I'm like, hey, you're coming to church tonight, right? And he's like, oh, yeah. Sorry, we're definitely coming tonight. Can't wait to see you. Definitely going to be there. Didn't show up. The next week, I happened to walk by, and I was like, I'm going to say something to him again. And I was like, hey, you coming to church? He's like, yep, definitely going to be there. Didn't show up. You know, when I was there at Faithful Word North, there was one Sunday morning, and we had three guys from, like, our main church just show up. They're just being a blessing just to kind of be there. And we had one visitor. So five for the service, all right? It's kind of awkward. And guess what? The guy bailed through announcements. I'm just like, all right, hey, welcome everybody. This is, you know, Faith Word. He's just gone. It's just beeline. And I'm thinking like, well, the bathroom's outside. Maybe he's going to the bathroom. He wasn't going to the bathroom. Look, if you think building a church is easy, you're dead wrong. You're lying. You're lying. Yet, you see two men go out, and you know what they didn't have? They didn't have the new IFB to go out there with them. They didn't have this YouTube following to go out there and basically build them up a church. They didn't just start their first service and have 50 people. You know what Pastor Anderson did? He used donuts to get four people to show up to his first service. Just like Jesus. He brings the free food, and then the freeloaders show up to the first service. He says year two, they had 9 in the first service, 7. On the second year, first service. You say, how do you know that? Well, I've listened to his preaching. I realize that church planning's hard. But you know what? When you have Pastor Anderson and you have Pastor Roger Menez come for your first service, you have like 120 people show up. Because they wanted to hear Absalom. You say, I don't know if I can trust that. Well, listen to his sermon on Numbers 4. He says it all in there. He doesn't like to name names because, you know,
he's a coward.
It's weak. Right. Exactly. It's weak. Yeah. I'll name names. Amen. Hey, you want to call me and talk trash on my friends? Be afraid that I might repeat that. Yeah. Be afraid that I might tell people. You know, I've never told Pastor Menez, so I thought this was a good opportunity to tell Pastor Menez all about it. You're just lucky you got to hear it. How about the fact that he likes to stand outside and have church services outside, and then call everyone that's having live stream services a compromiser? So you're better because you're compromising less? How does that even make sense? You just want to attack everybody that's having limited church services during COVID, that's having a smaller service and just broadcasting online, telling people to stay home. You're having them outside and telling everyone else they're a compromiser. I just want to steal the glory for myself, apparently. Now, here's the thing. He'll go out and have he'll go online and say, oh, we got to, you know, grandstand, and we got to talk about how we're going to stand up to the government, and we're going to have these church services. Who are you proving that to? The world. You're not going to impress the world with spiritual things, my friend. Why do I want to prove to the world that I'm going to serve God? Why do I have to go out and just, yeah, we're so spiritual? How about making up a false accusation against Pastor Anderson, saying that he's ecumenical and Calvinist, he's supporting Calvinism, promoting Calvinism, and saying that's why he has to separate from him? I would love to meet the person that in the last 12 months became a Calvinist because of Pastor Anderson. I would love to meet that person. I mean, he's going out, he's promoting, he has this big platform where millions of people are listening. Let's find all those Calvinists now. Where are they? I mean, I mean, if he's in Calvinism, I mean, that's scary, right? I don't want to, you know, partner up with Calvinists that are promoting Calvinism, teaching Calvinism, making Calvinists. He's never made a Calvinist, my friend. He's only made them a fundamental Baptist, is what he's done. That's a lying, false accusation. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. You say, I'm uncomfortable. Well, then be uncomfortable. It's called the Red Hot Preaching Conference. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 6. You know what makes me mad? Freeloaders. I'm sick and tired of freeloaders. I'm sick and tired of people attaching themselves to other great men who have done great works for God just so they can steal an audience, just so they can take people for themselves. They just have to subvert it. They say, you know what? People aren't going to come to hear me if I work hard on it because I'm not a hard worker. So I got to just steal it, like Absalom. He didn't want to just wait and earn it himself. I'll just try to take it for myself. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. So with discord. I don't care what they say. Where's his feet going? What's he doing? How about standing up in front of his whole church and publicly lying about Pastor Anderson and me? Is that okay for a pastor to just get up and publicly lie? He tries to say that I was attacking him with false information, saying that he was making a phone campaign against Pastor Anderson. Even though there was a pastor that told me directly, he says, you know what, Manly Perry called me and asked me if I could use, he could use my name as someone that I talked crap on Pastor Anderson. I told him no, because he did. So he's literally fishing for people to try and use it in a sermon. If they say no, then he gets up and says, I've never done it. That would mean you knowingly lied. And imagine this. Imagine Hillary Clinton standing on trial for her all her murders. And she says, Judge, here is five people I have not killed. Case closed. I mean, look, I found five people that says I didn't do it. So therefore, I didn't kill them. You're not going to be on trial for the people that you didn't do something bad to. What kind of defense is that? It's because you didn't have a defense. Because you lied. And you knew you lied. Proverbs chapter 13, flip over. And look, if I lie about somebody, I'll publicly apologize. Even if what I said could even be kind of construed as wrong. Even if it was a little bit in error. Hey, I want to fix that. We should be willing to correct ourselves and to humble ourselves and to say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Hey, I'm going to put out something and fix that, and I'll do that. But you know what? These people need to apologize. They need to fix things. And you know what? This is not an apology. Well, if I've done something wrong, then I'm sorry. If I've done something wrong to you, from the bottom of my heart, I'm sorry. Oh, it feels from the bottom, man. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what? If I have Tim DeLello come preach for me, don't hang out with me. I mean, I don't want to be hanging out with fools. I don't want to be hanging out with other, you know, people that are just subverting and attacking. And it's interesting how everybody can join up. As long as they hate Pastor Anderson, they're buddies. As long as they hate Pastor Menez, they're buddies. As long as they just hate one of, it's just like, hey, I know we have nothing in common, but let's just have a conference at Valiant Baptist Church. Why? Because we just hate Pastor Anderson. Because we just hate a godly man. That's a bad reason to have friends. And let me tell you what, they're not your friends. It's vain and light and treacherous persons. You know, I can honestly say that the other pastors in this room, they are my friend. I know that they would help me if I ever needed it, because they do. I need a lot of help, all right? I'm going to be honest. And I ask for it a lot. And, you know, Pastor Jimenez has been a huge blessing to me, you know, my whole ministry. You know, if I call him and I say, hey, can you help me? He's just like, sure. What can I do? How can I help? He pays for all of it. He takes care of everything. You guys probably didn't even know how much you're helping Steadfast Baptist Church and Pure Words Baptist Church. That's a real friend. Yeah. Not someone that's going to go around and make up false accusations and lie about people and slander people. But I didn't bring it out in the open. Yeah, because lying slanderers don't. They go behind your back. It's called a backbiter. Well, I didn't backbite in public. What? I didn't openly backbite, okay? It's like, what are you talking about? At least if I'm going to call someone out, everyone gets to hear it at the same time. And you know what? If you don't like my face, if you don't like my name, if you don't like my church, if you want to have nothing to do with me, so be it. You don't have to be friends with anybody you don't want to. But you know what? That doesn't give you a reason to lie and slander against them. And how can he stand up in his pulpit and say, you know what? I decided we're going to have a vote, and all the men are going to vote if we should leave the new IFB. How do you even do that? Do you, like, submit, like, a questionnaire or something to someone? I mean, how do you turn that one in? But I figured out this is how you leave the new IFB. You slander Pastor Anderson. That's how you leave. Well, guess what? I don't want to leave then. That's a bad application. How can you even leave something you never joined in the first place? Oh, I'm going to leave Baptist. What is that? You know, if you leave the new IFB, that means you don't believe what the new IFB believes. What if I say, oh, I'm going to stop being a man? That's scary. What does that even mean? How can you have every man in your church vote to leave the new IFB, and then there's a Facebook group called the New IFB where they like to hang out and congregate and post videos? Yeah. How does that work? Yeah, right. Oh, I'm going to leave, but be in a Facebook group called... What's more New IFB than a Facebook group called the New IFB? Yeah. You say, oh, they're going to be offended when they hear this sermon. What are they doing hearing this sermon? Yeah. Since they left the New IFB. Yeah, right. Shouldn't affect them. Yeah. Oh, I want to publicly vote that I'm leaving the New IFB, but I still want to get the free food, though, right? I still want to listen to all the sermons because I'm not getting spiritually fed at home. So I have to go out and find all the other doctrine. And what kind of person takes the kingdom that David built and uses it against him? You know, Absalom didn't go out and recruit his own men. He took David's men, didn't he? He took people that David had won over, that David had taught, that David instructed, that David had led. And then what does Absalom do? He tries to turn them against David, doesn't he? All these people, they got their whole life turned upside down by Pastor Anderson's preaching, by Pastor Jimenez's preaching, by their documentaries, by all these great things that they've done for them. They say, hey, I become a fundamental Baptist because of Pastor Anderson. I got saved because of Pastor Anderson. I got all the worldliness out of my life for Pastor Anderson. I got into church because of Pastor Anderson. I go soul winning because of Pastor Anderson. Oh, but now I can't support him. Where did that come from? Just, what did David do? In the story, Absalom's like, oh, remember this thing that David did? He can't be there for you. Oh, but I can be there for you. I can be your buddy. I'm closer than David is. Let me just give you a kiss. Let me just hug you. Let me tell you how special you are. You can't believe everything here, my friend. Yeah, right. You say, oh, I like the first half of your list, Pastor Shelley, but I didn't like the second half. That's because you're a respecter of persons. If you liked any of that list, but you didn't like all of it, it's because you're a respecter of persons. That's why. Because the list applies to everybody. Hey, if I just called out Jack Treber and Paul Chappell and whoever, everybody's like, right, yeah, woo! But I call out your buddy. Look, a liar is a liar. A slanderer is a slanderer. In my book. Point number one, freeloaders are selfish. Point number two, freeloaders subvert to take for free as well. Go to Luke chapter 16. We'll get to my third point. You know, Paul said that he was thankful for being put into the ministry. That's the type of attitude we should all have. You know, I don't look at Steadfast Baptist Church or Pure Words Baptist Church and think, man, look at all this hard work I've done. I think, wow, I'm thankful for being put into the ministry. I'm thankful I've been given a privilege and an honor to pastor these people. And it's an honor and a privilege. And you know what? Yeah, I'm riding on the coattails of a lot of people. I'm riding on the coattails of Pastor Anderson, Pastor Jimenez. And guess what? I'm riding on the Pastor Nichols because he got them, you know, fired up. And then his pastor and the apostles and Jesus Christ. Right. I'm riding on all their coattails. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with riding on coattails. You know what's wrong? Being a freeloader about it. Not being thankful about it. Not being appreciative of what has been given unto you. The Apostle Paul was appreciative of being put into the ministry. And you know what? The Apostle Paul did not subvert those that went before him. He tried to support those that went before him. That's the attitude we should have. We should try to support people. Hey, Pastor Anderson's changed my entire life, and now I'm a great Christian. Well, I don't want you to subvert you away from that. I want to support you in that. I want to help you like him more. Why not? What, who am I? There's nothing special about me. You know, Joshua comes unto Moses. Hey, these guys are preaching too. Envious thou for my sake? Would to God all the Lord's people were prophets. Amen. You know, I wish every guy in my church preached better than me. Then I don't have to preach as much. Man, it'd be great. I could just be like, plug and play, you know? And obviously, as a pastor, I got to preach. I'm just saying, hey, if everybody's just a great preacher, why don't you just plug them in? It's tough when you say, I got to fill a pulpit, and you're kind of like, Look, I'm not just jealous of someone preaching better than me. I hope they all preach better than me. I hope people like Pastor Anderson more next year, not less. I hope they like Pastor Jimenez more, not less. And how can you come to Red Hot Preaching Conference and not love Verity Baptist Church? I hope that you appreciate it even more. You know, and we ought not get mad at people riding on coattails either, though. The flip side's true. I mean, when you think about the 11th hour hirers, those guys that worked really hard, they're really mad that those 11th hour guys are reaping the same benefits. Like, well, we labored really hard. Look, Pastor Anderson and Pastor Jimenez labored way harder than I ever will starting a church. It's not even close. But you know what? They can be celebratory. They can be excited that I also get to reap some of those same benefits, even though I'm a latecomer, even though I'm riding on other people's coattails. But you know what? It's only going to be good if I'm thankful for it, if I appreciate it. If I'm not subverting, I'm supporting. Here's my last point, what freeloaders do. Luke chapter number 16, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. My last point of a freeloader, not only are they selfish, not only do they subvert, they squander instead of being a steward. They squander instead of being a steward. And this guy squandered the goods of his master. He took all these goods in, but then he just squandered them all, didn't he? He just wasted his goods. But you know what? It gets worse for this guy. Look at verse 2. And he called and he said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So notice what happens with this unjust steward. He's already squandered his master's goods. He's already been a freeloader and taking advantage. But then when he's on his way out, guess what he does? He freeloads some more. He says, you know what? I'm going to even steal even more of my master's money on the way out. I'm just going to rip him off even further. So then I just get all these free goods and services from all these people that I squandered his goods from. Hey, I just, you know, and these are what people do. They get a little bit offended at Pastor Anderson or Pastor Jimenez, and they can start to see that they're on their way out. So you know what they do? They just squander as much as they can on the way out. They just try to take as much as they can on the way out. And notice what they do. They squander the good. They waste the goods. These were goods. They had a value. They had a profit. But now he's turning them into something that's not worth anything. They just ruin them. Go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter number 13. Go to Proverbs chapter number 13 and look at verse number 11. The Bible says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." So the Bible says, hey, when you get a lot of wealth, but it was by vanity, it wasn't by actually working hard, it was something you just got for free, it's going to be diminished. And you know, I know this about myself, that if I just get so arrogant and prideful, and I try to detach myself from all the things that I've been given, all the stuff that I have now is going to be diminished. If I just say, you know what, nuts to everything that everybody's ever given to me, I'm so wonderful. Come here, Absalom, preach. You know what? All the stuff I have now is going to be diminished in the end. All the wealth, all that wealth of Bible wisdom that you've taken is going to end up being diminished. All the financial resources that you've stolen, that you've taken, is going to be diminished. All the church resources that you have are going to end up being diminished. Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, look at verse number 9. "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." Now, I think every time I've heard this verse or I've thought about this verse, I always think of the first part. Well, if you're slothful, then that makes you wasteful. But you know what? If you're wasteful, that makes you like the slothful guy. Notice, a lot of people, they say, oh, I'm a hard worker. Yeah, but do you waste the things that you have? Now you're like a slothful person. You're a brother to him. You're a brother to someone that just wastes things and just squanders things. I mean, when they're free, can someone remember where my water bottle is? Which one is it? I don't know. That doesn't matter. They're all free here anyways. Who would litter with all these water bottles up here? Someone should clean this up. I mean, when things are free, I mean, who cares? I mean, I'm not paying the bill here. I'll just keep taking. Just keep taking another water. I mean, how many should I use? Just play a game with them, maybe? I'm like the slothful guy because I'm just a great waster. You know what's interesting when you leave a church service? This is what it looks like. You know, when I walk out of the church building, it looks like this. And I was like, how do people do that? So I tried to do it myself. I don't know. It was weird. It was awkward. But y'all seem to do it. Isn't that interesting? Y'all are really good at it. I was trying to be like you guys, just squandering all these things that are free. You know, oh, I get the DVD. I mean, like my kid, they don't have any toys, so I'm just going to use the Red Hot Preaching DVDs. Right? Just hand them a toy. It's the DVD. No one's going to use this. I mean, or there's just trash everywhere, right? People just litter. You know, it's nice. I mean, you got all these nice hymnals here. I mean, Pastor Minna said they're free. I mean, if it's free, now it's like mine, isn't it? His Sharpies are free too, huh? I mean, it's mine, right? I hope nobody's getting offended up here. This is mine. Isn't that real nice of Pastor Jimenez to just give me this nice hymnal? I don't really like this song. Or this one. This one, I don't know about this one. We should probably add some notes to some of these. I mean, this one makes me happy. Oh, let's just let our kids play with them, right? Yeah. What do the kids do? Oh, what happened? Who needs this? I mean, right? I mean, I like to make paper airplanes. That one kind of got ripped. Here, Johnny. Oh, you don't have anything to do in the church service? Here, have some paper. Oh, this one got ripped too. You know what? It's probably not going to work out. So I got his scissors. This will help us. We can get a clean sheet, right? I mean, I did not pay for this hymnal. It was free. But now it's mine. I'm kind of like that slothful guy, huh? I kind of like making paper airplanes, you know. I mean, you've never taken something and just wasted it, have you? That'd be a shame, wouldn't it? Just making paper airplanes. I mean, it's out of hymnal paper. What could be better than that? You know what? This hymnal's kind of ruined. Here, give me yours. I mean, does anybody mind? You know, that one kind of got a little destroyed. You know, green's my favorite color. I like drawing dogs of puppies. How about you? It's interesting how when everybody leaves, you go and find hymnals and they got all cool drawings in them. I didn't know who the artist was. Who's the artist? You bunch of freeloaders, huh? Oh, I didn't pay for it. I mean, they got free Bibles too. Hey, let's just let Johnny play with it. Let's let Johnny. You know, I mean, Adam Fannin probably goes to, like, I don't know, 1 Timothy 3. He's probably thinking, like, don't need that one. I mean, hey, Johnny, just play with the Bible. It's a fun little toy. Right? But then he's just like, sweet. Oh, I like drawing pictures in the Bible, too. Maybe they had, like, the manna. I could draw the manna. Some bread. I think that's what it looked like. Do y'all have illustrations in your Bibles? Y'all are missing out. I mean, since everything's free, I thought, you know, Pastor Menes, I'd just take his hole punch because, you know, you always need a good hole punch. Everything's free. I mean, this isn't bothering you at all, is it? But people just, you know, they don't care when it's free, is it? They don't care that the church paid for it. See if I can even use this thing. Here we go. This is kind of fun. You know, it seems like people just come to church and they just get like glitter and they just decide to just throw it everywhere. You say, I don't know about that. Well, you don't clean the church. Sounds really wasteful. Sounds really slothful. This is a holy Bible. Hey, they have free granola bars. I mean, this is such a nice church. You know, I've never been to churches that are so generous as Verity Baptist Church. You find me another church that all the events are free, and all the meals are free, and all the CD preaching is free. And you know what? When you want to hear the Bible being preached, they don't say, oh, pay for Bible college. They say, hey, I'll just teach it to you for free. And baptize you for free. And give you, I'll even build a website to get you married for free. I mean, he's trying hard here. And then you're like, hey, free granola bars. I don't like that one. Maybe I like this one. People just taking huge plates of food and just throwing them right in the trash. I didn't like that one. Do you want it? I'll just put it back in the box. Maybe somebody else will want it. It seems silly, but it's real. How about this one? You have a free soul winning marathon. You pay for all the food. They come up to you. Where's the juice for my kids? It's at the store. That's where it's at. We got water in the chest right there. I like juice with my meals. I like cookies. Where's the milk? That's what people actually say. You throw these events for free, you give them all the food, all the lodging for free, and they just complain about it. They just want more. They're never satisfied. I can't just have the free water and food. Where's the juice? Right. You know, I get two pillows when I sleep, you know. Where's my second pillow? Or you say, hey, we're going to have a free event. The church is going to pay for it. You sign up, and then you don't show up. Right. You know, recently I had an event where I paid $120, and guess what you have to do with events? You have to pay in advance. And you say, oh, I'll have this free event. Six people don't show up, so $600 of the church money just vaporized on nothing. This is like a dollar, and you were offended. How about $600? But you know what? When things are free, people don't care about them because they're free, do they? They're a bunch of freeloaders. And you know what? We shouldn't just take advantage of other people's generosity. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being generous. We shouldn't stop being willing to give. But you know what? We should be different. We should be thankful for the things that people have given. And it's, you know, if I run two hymnals, maybe they'll save the rest of them for the year. Guess what? That was an ESV, all right, for all you diehards, okay? Go to Proverbs 19. Just flip the page, all right? Look at verse 26. It says, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Why would children have been given everything by their parents and then despise their parents and waste the things that their parents have given them? And you know, the number one freeloaders in life is children. There's this phrase called, that's why we can't have nice things. You know why? Because they're a bunch of freeloaders. They're selfish. They try to manipulate to get things that they want. They subvert. And you know what? They squander the goods, okay? They just waste things. Kids are very wasteful by nature. You have to teach them and train them not to be a freeloader, not to waste the things. And you know, a lot of people, they didn't really get that. So now they're a single young man. You want to know who some of the biggest freeloaders are? Single young men. You go on a trip to Jamaica, a missions trip, and you have to be a leader over like 10 young single men, and you get in the car, who can navigate? Well, I didn't want to pay for the roaming package. Well, I didn't want to pay for the roaming package. I didn't want to pay for the roaming package. No one! Why? Well, I plan to spend $0 on this trip. That's what they literally told me. They said, I'm just trying to go for free. Someone bought my plane ticket. I heard y'all are buying the meals. I mean, I'm just trying to show up. You know the biggest freeloaders are? Young single men. It's reality. I like being around people that are married and have kids. Because you know what? They realize how to take care of themselves. Not just themselves, other people. These single young men, they're still needing someone to take care of them. If you need people to take care of you, you're a freeloader. And we need to teach and train people not to be the freeloaders. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 2, 2 Samuel chapter number 2. I don't know why they put all this plastic up here. 2 Samuel chapter 24, look at verse 24. What's the point of the sermon? Don't be a freeloader. Don't be selfish. Be selfless. Don't just always take, give. Don't be one who subverts, support. Right. And don't be one who squanders, be a good steward of the things that have been trusted to you. Right. You know, don't take the invites and say, you know what, our table at home's a little wobbly. This will kind of fix it. But you know what, take as many invites as you possibly can and steward them into people's hands that need them. Take as many DVDs. Hey, there's nothing wrong with taking stuff, but you know what? When you take stuff, be a good steward of the things that God has given you. And realize the wife that God gave you, be a good steward of that wife. Be a good steward of those children. Be a good steward of the doctrines in which you have learned. Don't just be a freeloader. And you know what? David had a right attitude. He was not a freeloader. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. And the king said to Arana, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, Neither will I offer burnt offerings in the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. David, he counted the people. It was wrong. Satan provoked him. There's a big plague on the people. He's trying to get right with God. And notice, when he tries to get right with God, he says, I'm not going to offer something for free. It's going to have to cost me something. Jesus Christ said, count the cost. And you know what it is? All of it. Amen. Just give it all. Amen. To the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just give it to God. Don't be a freeloader. You say, hey, I feel like I'm kind of been reproached by this sermon. Well, just stop being a freeloader and get plugged into Verity Baptist Church. Amen. And don't think about, hey, you say, I'll buy two hymnals and replace those other two. Hey, I'll replace those water bottles. Hey, I'm not going to just take, I'll give. Hey, I'm not going to squander the goods. I'm going to give the goods. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Last place I'll have you turn this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We got a bunch of freeloaders today. And let me say this. We're not going to turn America upside down with the gospel with a bunch of freeloaders. We're not going to make a huge impact for God by being a freeloader today. The ones that God blesses are ones that give of themselves. They're willing to sacrifice for others. They esteem others better than themselves. They're thankful for the things that God did for them. Here's my question. Where are the nine? Who cares? They're a bunch of freeloaders. And you know what? God is not going to use the freeloaders today. God is going to use the people that gave it all. Like Barnabas, who sold all of his possessions and just laid them down. Like the Apostle Paul, who forsook everything in his life. He counted it but dung, and he says, you know what? I'm going to serve Christ with my life. Amen. And you know what? If you're in this room and you say, I'm a really big freeloader, God's not going to use you greatly. God is going to use the person that lays down his life and is giving of everything that he has. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. The Apostle Paul was in the position he was because of God's grace. But notice what he said. His grace was not in vain. A lot of us are in this room by God's grace. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. I don't deserve the position I'm in. I don't deserve the things that I have. But you know what? By God's grace, I am what I am. Amen. I'm where I'm at because I'm where I'm at. You know what? I don't want to be said of me, well, it's just all in vain, though. Hey, I got all these great things. I was taught all this great doctrine. I was taught how to go soul winning, but I didn't go soul winning. That was in vain. I got to pastor a church, but I didn't really minister the church and support the church. I just tried to take from it. It was in vain. The Apostle Paul knows what he did. He labored more abundantly than they all. Let us not be freeloaders today. Let us labor more abundantly than they all. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. Thank you for your picture of your son coming and sacrificing himself, not being a freeloader, but giving of everything that he had unto us so that we could accept the free gift. I thank you for all the gifts that you've given us. You've given to Verity Baptist Church. You've given to our churches and all of us in this room. I pray that we would not take your grace and make it vain, but rather we would labor more abundantly than they all to give more honor and glory to your son. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Turn to Psalm 162. Psalm number 162.